Welcome to Foot Weekly.
We kick off with a look back at Foot Champions.
I discover you can play without a goalkeeper.
I reveal the tactics that got me qualified for a weekend league I can't even play in.
We take a look at Diogo Jota for our informed impression.
And as always, we talk through the team of the week as well as our dynamite discards. No red shirt today, but who needs beer when you've got Foot Champions rewards? This is week 4 of Foot Weekly. As always, I'm Horace. This is Ben.
Hello.
How many wins did you get in the end?
Quite a few more than you.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I only ended on, was it 12 or 13? We were just talking about this.
Yeah.
I was one off silver one, which isn't fantastic. I would have thought, if it'd been a weekend where I'd been able to play a lot of games, I think I would have definitely got higher, because I only ended up playing, I think, 25 games or something.
Okay.
Maybe even less, maybe 20. So it wasn't exactly great in a way, because considering the rewards are available and actually qualifying, like, I haven't qualified yet, so it would be quite frustrating considering, like, yeah, I had the chance last weekend. But
could we see a reverse of last weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
One of us qualifying again.
Because you've already qualified, haven't you?
Yeah, I qualified first time this week, and I'm away all weekend, so I'm going to have to, got Sunday evening is basically my only chance to play, so I'm hoping to at least get the 5 matches done to get a reward.
Well, yeah, I mean, even the 5 match reward is pretty good, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, if I play 5 matches and just lose all of them, I'll get myself bronze 3, which would be 1,000 coins and 2 gold packs. But
actually, I'm not gonna lie, that's not great.
It's pretty terrible, really.
But it goes up quite sharply, doesn't it? If you get bronze 2, you get 2 premium gold packs, which
premium
is quite good.
Premium gold players if you get 5 wins. So I mean, it increases. You'll get there.
I mean, imagine playing 40 games and getting 5 wins. I mean,
you're a glutton for punishment if you've done that, to be honest. I think you just give up at one point, surely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, 40, it's a huge time investment to play 40 games, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it was pretty interesting how I found it changed over the period that I was playing. Like, when we played on Saturday before recording, it was relatively, we were saying, you know, maybe the quality of players, it was similar to for second round of the tournament. But actually, I think by Sunday night, when I was trying to fit in some games before it ended and wasn't completely focused because I was doing something else, it kind of, not only was I obviously not playing as well because I wasn't fully focused and was trying to just rush out the wins, it was obvious that the quality of the player, or at least the sweat levels, were through the roof because everyone was trying to get those final wins. And if I got that final win, I would have got silver one, which would have been a lot better. And really, I should have got silver, like, because a lot of the games I played over that period where I wasn't fully focused, like, I should have ended up on, I think, gold 3 probably, in the number of games I played. But just because of the final few games not being up to scratch, I'd say, I didn't make it. Also, I think I got a little bit kind of sure that I would make it, if that makes sense.
So
I
was got complacent.
Sort of got a bit complacent. But it's all a learning process, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this first one, it'll be interesting to see how interest levels are maintained over the course of the year for Foot Champions, because I think there's a huge amount of hype around it right now, but potentially later down the line, as fewer people are playing, I mean, talking kind of in the kind of lull you normally get around sort of February, March, whether you only get the very hardcore players playing Foot Champions, and that might mean that it's even harder to do well because the people that are playing are particularly dedicated FIFA players, or whether interest, because the rewards are so big, you'll just always get a huge number of people playing it.
Mm. I mean, I suppose you do get different quality players throughout the year to an extent, but there is that kind of added level of commitment in qualifying for it in the first place and everything.
Mm.
Certainly, it's quite easy not to qualify. I mean, I've got 4 attempts. I just didn't manage to fit in that many attempts in the other tournaments.
Yeah.
And tomorrow and today is the final tournament. Unfortunately, we're half decent at making teams, so we don't really have a problem having a team that qualifies for any of the requirements, so we can almost always enter every tournament. But actually, if you were discounted from entering one tournament because you just couldn't build the team or whatever, or you ended up going in a low chemistry one because you weren't really any good at building it or couldn't work it out, then one night you're busy. I mean, it's quite easy only to have a few attempts at the tournament. And yeah, it's quite interesting. I think you might be right. Over time, we might find that it's only the very top players who sustain a high level of play who actually are making it in regularly.
Yeah, and certainly who are going to be able to commit basically a whole weekend to it every week, I think you'll definitely see a drop-off in terms of the total number of people playing.
And also the better players might even... I mean, you might end up having the odd week where you don't qualify just because it's a tournament. Like, you can't... Like, it's really... Anything happens, it's football.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's football. FIFA.
I mean, you feel there are a lot of chances to qualify, but you only need to have a couple of bad runs to, a bit of bad luck, a couple of freak results, maybe a disconnect, and suddenly all your chances are gone. And if you get down to just having one attempt left to qualify, as I ended up on Friday last week, you really feel the pressure. And I got to the final in that last attempt, but I buckled. It's a sad, sad feeling.
But yeah, at least qualified this weekend, so
yeah,
get a taste of it.
Get a taste of the Fit Champions. We got a bit rambly there, looking at Fit Champions and the rewards, because as we said on the podcast, we weren't sure if we didn't think the rewards would come out immediately. They ended up coming out in the UK at least sometime around midnight, 2 a.m. last night, we think. And that was because EA wanted to ensure that no foul play had occurred.
We basically saw a tweet early on from the developer that I met at the playtesting a few years back, and he was saying that the reason they do it is just make sure they're going through and picking out cheats. It's been a real problem on PC. Apparently loads of people have been glitching it, basically, in Division 1 and in Weekend League. So I think that is... I don't know whether there's nearly that many people on Xbox that do that, but it's certainly the case on PC. Mm.
I could imagine it's certainly easier on PC than on either of the consoles, just because you've got a lot more access to how your computer is working with the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure coin selling still exists, so you've got some... There's always going to be motivation coin selling still exists, so there's always going to be motivation for people to be finding a way to glitch
trying
it.
To,
And with the prizes being so big, I mean, it's a no-brainer if you're trying to glitch something, you're going to do it in the Weekend League.
The prizes that you're going to be getting and that I might just manage to scrape this weekend are good, but fairly modest. When you look at the very top end of the prizes that are around, there are some pretty spectacular rewards going on.
We actually managed on the beta to get...
On the beta, we were in the top 100 because there were so few people playing, and you got a pack which basically gave you a full team of the week. And as far as I'm aware, that's still in it. If you're in the top couple of rank, you get the ultimate team of the week pack, which is, as far as we're aware, 11 special Foot Champions versions of team of the week players from that week. So you're not guaranteed. We don't know if that's going to be the starting 11 or an assortment of gold informs from that week. So I assume you can also get the reserves if they are gold, or the subs if they are gold. And I mean, that's going to be a pretty, pretty spectacular reward. Anyone who can finish in the top 100 with any degree of consistency is going to be absolutely minted.
Yeah, and also probably already have like Pele, or anyone who's that committed is bound to have like one of the very best teams, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, there's I guess obviously they've made the rewards so ridiculous in order to really make it competitive and make people really, really push to win this thing. Is there a degree to which it'll sort of end up perpetuating things, kind of the very top players get the very top rewards, and so we'll have the very strongest teams to enter the tournament?
Makes it harder and harder for everyone else.
And will give people such a big advantage going into future qualification tournaments and Foot Champion weekend things.
I think it marks a real turning point for the game, because previously it's been so focused on like who you happen to get in a pack. There are obviously loads of skillful traders out there, and moderately half decent traders like us, who've managed to gain a decent number of coins over the course of a year through trading, just investing, and just making sure that they're good with their coins. But really, to get the top level players and things, you had to get the very top.
True, yeah. Until this year, you either had to get unbelievable pack luck, invest a lot of real life money, or invest a crazy amount of time doing very, very rigorous, hardcore trading.
Yeah, definitely. Essentially.
Whereas now you have the possibility if you're an excellent player of the game, like a very top level player of the game, it makes it easier for you. Or even if you're a fairly good player of the game, if you can get any of the gold rewards or elite rewards, even a couple of times, then that sets you up. But if prices for Team of the Season players and informs that and elite players down the line are roughly in line with what we've seen in previous years, then just doing well in a couple of the champions weeks will set you up for the year fairly well.
And yeah, I think the other interesting thing to talk about is like why EA have introduced this. Again, it's something similar to Squad Builder Challenges, which doesn't seem to fall in line with their need to encourage people to buy packs. And there's one reason which maybe it does encourage people to buy packs, because of course the vast majority are not getting these top prizes.
Yeah.
And there's more players that are of higher caliber out there. There's more coins in the market, which probably means that their prices might be slightly higher this year.
Yeah.
People are going to have more. So there is that kind of side, which the more cynical side. But you could also say that there's this push towards making FIFA more of an esport, which is quite possible. That's more of the reason why it's been implemented, because they're trying to encourage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be more of the esport side of that. EA are very clearly trying to really push FIFA as a competitive video game. And potentially they're thinking about this in the sense that the potential revenues from big esports events, sponsorship deals with big gaming other gaming companies, and
I guess football clubs getting involved
so on,
as well.
Getting football clubs involved, though which way the money is changing hands that's in true. Those instances, you don't always know. Yeah, their main motivation is to promote FIFA as an esport, and ultimately doesn't matter to them too much, as long as the market doesn't get completely fucked, it doesn't matter to them too much how many coins and how many crazy packs they put out there, because it's all extra lines of code. It doesn't actually impact.
It doesn't really cost them
directly, other than in maybe lost pack revenue, which I guess they've calculated they're going to make back with maybe ticket sales from these events and sponsorships and advertising.
Yeah, and I think that it's interesting though, because actually, I'm not sure FIFA really suits an esport. It's just so random.
Imagine, yeah.
Like, you know, something like COD, you don't get like, I don't know, I'm not big on the esport world, but something like a shooting game, you know, it's fairly consistent. You don't get bullshit.
Yeah,
like,
games.
You know, it has a kind of...
Yeah, FPS games, MOBAs and stuff, those are very precisely skill-based, whereas in FIFA, because it's a football simulator, you have to have a degree of randomness. You can't get the exact same result if you do the same thing 100 times. You can get roughly the same result, but if there was a certain thing you could do that would guarantee you scoring from 30 yards every time, that would break the game. And, I mean, it's not just in attacking, but in defending, because you've got so much automation, because obviously you can only control one of your 11 players or one of your 10 outfield players at any one time. I've seen people complaining on the forums and stuff about how they feel defending has become too automatic this year, which I think you always get that sort of stuff around this time of the year because people are adjusting to a new game, working out what the AI does. But in terms of an esport, when you're getting so much support from the computer and the artificial intelligence inbuilt into the game, there's an argument that it makes it less viable as a competitive game to play.
Yeah, really, they should all have to play on manual, really, to make it absolutely fair.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose, yeah, you get so much additional assistance on everything you do in FIFA.
And I think the other point is that in terms of audience kind of interest in it, firstly, I mean, who wants to see two players playing ultra defensive and sweating it out for 15, 20 minutes? Because, you know, I don't enjoy playing against that a lot of the time, so I doubt I'm going to enjoy watching it. But on the other hand, there's also this argument that, oh, maybe because football's so popular, surely like people playing football and watching that would be popular. But really, part of the reason why football's so engaging is because of the cult or culture around football, which you just don't really have around FIFA. You don't have the fans, you don't have the history of the clubs, you don't have that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So whether that builds over time, I don't know. That being said, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure EA will have some tricks up their sleeves to get us properly interested in this. And all this Foot Champions chat brings us on quite nicely to a new thing we're going to be doing each week, where we pick out a couple of threads from the forums and Reddit r-FIFA that we found particularly interesting this week. I mean, both the forums and the FIFA Reddit subreddit are interesting if you're looking for some more kind of in-depth chat or just ranting and raging about FIFA. And yeah, the first thread we're going to talk about today is Japes's post, Japes, who big YouTuber, I'm sure most of you will know him, about he posted on Reddit talking about how it could benefit you if you've already qualified for the weekend league not to then carry on playing the daily knockout tournaments, because people have been doing this apparently just to get the rewards from doing the tournament. But his point, which I think is quite valid, is that by doing that, you potentially make it harder for other people to qualify for the weekend league. And so you're increasing the average quality of opponent you'll face. So by continuing to play the knockout tournament, you essentially cause yourself to get worse rewards.
Yeah, you're basically stopping the people who you can beat from getting into the tournament.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're good enough to qualify and then you win the tournament again, you've stopped someone who might be worse than you qualifying.
Exactly.
Which is quite an interesting point. And I think the actual impact it's going to have is going to be very minimal, because so many people are qualifying and so many people are playing FIFA. But potentially further down the line, as we were saying, when maybe a few fewer people are qualifying for FUT Champions, that could mean the difference between you hitting boundary on the rewards.
Yeah, especially if you're in like a matchmaking area which doesn't necessarily match up with that many people, or the pool is smaller, it could actually have an impact. But it is very unlikely. If you're just your average player in London or the UK, I don't think it's going to have a huge impact at all.
Yeah.
If you want to get the prices. To move on to our FIFA forums discussion of the week, we have a post which actually also on Reddit, but we found on the forums, from Dr. Poplove. He's, I reckon he's probably, what, Eastern European or Russian?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to predict exactly, because I don't know his accent or him.
But he's quite a funny guy. Some great one-liners during his videos, which are linked to. But also just really, really solid advice on how to play the game, especially defending, positioning. Yeah, I mean, you watched a few of the videos, didn't you?
I've read through most of his posts and watched a bunch of his videos. He's got 5 sections of his FIFA Academy, which is what he's calling it, up so far. He looks at passing, possession, how you can use attacking runs more intelligently, a general covering of defending, but looking at some quite interesting topics. And he makes some pretty relevant points and made me really think about some things I hadn't thought about before. Then he does a rundown of some of the most popular formations, looks at custom tactics, and he's also got a little thing on shooting and what the best way of getting your highest probability shots off are. And yeah, it's just a really well thought out, well written piece. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's really good. And he runs through a custom tactic, which you've actually used recently.
Yeah, so he said he primarily doesn't actually use custom tactics. He just uses the possession preset. But he showed a custom tactic that he'd been playing around with, where he had very high speed on his build-up, but then pretty much everything else was set to 25. So very short passing, very low crossing, and he'd put his shooting up a bit, but then on defense, his pressure, aggression, and width were all down at 25. And I thought I'd give it a go, try it out. I quite like playing passing football, and that's what this tactic setup allows you to do. And I won 3 of my next 4 games in divisions fairly comfortably, a couple of like very big wins. And yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I need to try it out a bit more. But it really made, I was using a false 9 team, and it really clicked with kind of intricate passing moves.
Yeah, big shout out to Dr. Poplove.
Yeah, love the
Poplove. Or Poplove, we're not sure.
Yeah, his name is Poplove when it's written down, but on his videos it sounds like Poplove.
Maybe,
we don't know.
Maybe a pun. So any other particular gameplay nuggets this week?
I mean, yeah, aside from trying out that new custom tactic, one thing I found really effective is using the RB or R1 and Y or triangle, the driven through balls kind of down the wing. So playing from one of my fullbacks up to a winger, and if they've started on a run already and they've got a yard or two on the fullback that they're up against on their side, you can a lot of the time just completely catch your opponent's defense out. And if you've got a pacey winger, you can be through almost in a one-on-one, depending on how quick their center backs can recover.
Yeah, you actually mentioned this earlier and I gave it a go, and it was really helpful for getting the winger kind of round the fullback.
Yeah, yeah, because they often, the way the passes, those driven passes can work is the fullbacks will put quite a bit of spin on it, and so it can kind of, the winger, they can pass either side of the fullback, but they end up, can basically just cut the fullback completely out of the game. Quite a powerful pass, particularly if your opponent isn't expecting it, or if they, if they're controlling their fullback at the time, they often just don't react in time at all.
Mm. Sounds quite horrible to play against, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so one weakness with it I found is having, I've been using Baba, the Schalke left back who was at Chelsea before. His passing's not very good. And if I'm too close to the touchline, because he tries to curve the pass, he plays it straight out of play and it curves back into play. But you just end up giving away a throw-in on about the halfway line. So if you do try out that pass, watch out for being too close to the touchline when you do it.
Just watch out for Baba.
Just, yeah, just don't use Baba. He's fine, he's strong, he's quick, but yeah, don't try ambitious passes with him.
So the other thing that I've noticed actually is, well, we both noticed because it was in a game between us. Obviously I got the red card with my goalkeeper not so long ago, and we actually managed to almost reenact it in a friendly match. And this was interesting because when I was doing team management, it forced you into doing team management so you could bring on a goalkeeper. Obviously, previously didn't have a goalkeeper on the bench, so didn't bring him on. This time was savvy to the fact I needed a goalkeeper on the bench, so had a goalkeeper on the bench, but had actually kind of been faffing about in team management, and the clock ran down. Obviously, it was just a friendly game, so I wasn't that bothered, but the clock ran down, and I just didn't have a goalkeeper in the goal.
Yeah, so, yeah. So I just got to take a free kick against a wall and nothing else.
So all I could do was like try and run a player to the line, and obviously, as I didn't have possession because I just conceded a free kick, I couldn't pause. Maybe it would have made sense for like one of the players to then step into the goal, yeah, like as the goalkeeper quickly or something like that. So then you could sub them off later. At least then you'd have someone in there able to use their hands. I mean, you had a half decent free kick taker, and so it was a guaranteed goal.
Yeah, pretty much. So basically, there is no safety net. You can play without a keeper if you get him sent off.
Forrest has been caught out with his drink fighter.
Very unprofessional. So Ben, couple challenges this week. Quite a few of them went up. Did you try any out?
Yeah, I did the some of the more basic ones. Did chemistry is key, which was, yeah, it was a pretty good one. Considering the reward wasn't too bad, I think it was an all players pack. But on the other hand, so many players which were kind of useful for the challenge. The idea being you had to make an all from one club, kind of core of seven players. It was actually a bit price fixy.
Yeah, it was. You needed seven players from one club with potentially seven different nations. So actually, that limited the number of clubs that you could do it with a bit, but not hugely. There were still a lot of ways of completing this challenge, but it just led to a huge amount of price fixing, quite weird, random price fixing.
Yeah.
I ended up having, I did it with Mainz in the Bundesliga, and because I had a couple, like three of the players already just randomly in my club. And I think I managed to snipe most of the rest for pretty reasonable prices, so it was worth it to do the challenge. But if you're paying the prices that most of these players were locked at, you're very unlikely to make your money back on it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it was a bit strange, because so many players were possible for the challenge, but at the same time, people seemed to be, I guess people were buying these players that were being price fixed. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because to be honest, you only get, I mean, you get like 4k from discarding the pack, you only get one rare player.
Yeah.
So if you're going to pay like 2k for a player, you're already kind of in a loss.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because for the most part, the challenges have been pretty worthwhile, but we saw a bit of a shift this week, maybe.
Mm.
Not least with the big new challenge that went up this week, which was the Gareth Barry 600 Premier League appearances challenge. We got a special God Build Challenge Gareth Barry card, which had some nice stats on it, except for one being his 40 pace. I kind of, when I saw the card, I was hoping they might do a sort of Gareth Barry at his peak, whenever that might have been, and give him a like sort of mid-60s pace or something, just to make the card a bit more attractive. I mean, I'm not a massive pace whore, but I'd rather have 55 plus pace on a defensive midfielder at least.
Yeah, I mean, 40, defensive midfielder is one of the few places you can have lower pace, but 40 is just, you know, way too low. Someone running at you with a player of even 60 pace, you'd be concerned.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, I think probably one of those things where yeah, I'm not really going to bother, because if I was going to do it, the amount of investing into it, and then it's not even like
I spent 10 minutes looking at it and just having a search in the market, seeing what some of the players who I assumed would be the cheaper ones you could use to complete it would cost, and it was going to be well over 50k at least if I got some bargains on a lot of the players to complete the challenge. Probably more than that, probably actually closer to 100 now I think about it. But yeah, I'm not an Everton fan, I'm not a particular Gareth Barry fan, so I didn't really have much motivation to try and get it done.
In saying that, someone who did have motivation, we came across, I think it was on the forums or something, had mentioned that they'd actually used him as a striker. He has like really, really strong stats in the air, and I mean, he has got decent shooting, and
he's got good shot power, he's got great strength and good heading and pretty strong passing stats. So and I could see him as a false nine target man.
Yeah, and the person had actually posted their record on the forums, and it was something like, what, two games, 5 goals, 3 assists, something like that.
It was something, yeah, something pretty ridiculous. Obviously, very small sample of games, but still pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was quite a weird one. But, I mean, yeah, if that floats your boat, go for it.
Yeah, I'd be keen. Like, I thought it was quite a good way of putting special cards into the game. It's more interesting and more rewarding, maybe, than just having record breaker cards in packs for a short amount of time, which is what they've done in the past when players reach certain milestones or break records. So I quite like that idea and hope they do more of it. But just also, hopefully, it's more attractive players in the future.
Yeah,
and also something to bear in mind is if it's a player that arguably not many people are going to want, and it was still very expensive to complete, you have to wonder how much price fixing might go on if there was a very attractive player as a reward.
Mm. And I think it's interesting because, yeah, fine, it's great that Barry is the card because loads of people follow the Premier League and he's a player that people know. But actually, I'd quite like to see some of the more like niche leagues getting a bit of love, some maybe cards in other... other leagues, and hopefully they still bother to do that, because it would be great to see.
Yeah, I mean, that brings us on to another topic, another question I was wondering about with squad build challenges. We got Player of the Month, Raheem Sterling, last month. Is that going to be a monthly thing, which is just Premier League Player of the Month? Or are they going to, as you say, show other leagues some love? Even if it's the other big leagues around Europe, it would be nice to get a bit of variety there, maybe?
Yeah, I think it looks like it will be a Player of the Month again for Barclays Premier League. There's various chat, people starting to try and price fix players from, I think, Tottenham, assuming Spurs will get it through Son.
Yeah.
But it could also be, I think, Adam Lallana is possible.
I think, yeah, looking, Adam Lallana and Son are the two front runners at this stage.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, interesting.
Premier League.
I'm not sure whether they will be showing leagues much love, considering if that comes out soon, that'll be the third BPL play in a row. And the other players, I mean, Del Piero, obviously, a bit different, but it's a loan item. And then same with, obviously, you've got the other two, Liga NOS and MLS ones.
Yeah, Jonas and Giovinco.
Yeah.
No, it'll be an interesting one. I assume maybe, yeah, as you're saying, the Premier League Player of the Month thing will be a fixture that we just have each month throughout this year, which is fine, as long as they do other challenges, I think. Mm-hmm. And maybe if some of the other challenges, obviously this month, an additional one was the Gareth Barry, which is another Premier League player. Maybe in future it won't be all Premier League. We get to see some more obscure players.
Yeah, that'd be nice. And also just less demand, so
yeah,
you know, potentially you've got more chance of picking them up relatively cheap.
Cheaper to complete.
Mm-hmm. And we have a question which kind of connects into this whole idea of transfers and price fixing and things. So there's been a leave a comment of any kind, and Ricard has asked us to sort of evaluate the trading methods that are kind of going around. And we have tried a couple over the past few weeks.
We both picked up a bunch of the non-informed Pereira before he went into packs last week.
Yeah. We probably picked him up slightly later than you'd want to.
Yeah, we were a little bit late.
Around the 2K mark, whereas you'd probably want to be getting him a bit earlier, so he hasn't gone up that high yet, because people obviously were starting to realise that he was going to be an inform, and that would
drove up the price,
push the price up. But on the other hand, we both got what, 30 or so, I think, in the end.
Yeah, about 30 Pereiras made about 500 coins profit on average on each one. It's about 15k.
Wasn't even more in some cases, but yeah, I suppose over an average. So yeah, it was about 20k or so.
Pretty fairly small scale investment, but it's just quite an easy, reliable one. Is if you've got a fairly kind of dead cert for an inform, and you can get in there early and pick up their non-inform, buy them on the Tuesday before they go into packs if you're absolutely certain, or as soon as the team of the week's announced if it's a slightly more out there pick, and then sell them on maybe the next Tuesday or even over the weekend if there's a particularly high demand for them, and you just follow the price, see when it rises, because it will rise while they're out of packs, basically.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not the supply. And what we found quite effective was to list some players. So let's say you've got 30 players. Out of that 30, probably about 25, you're going to list from varying prices between considerably higher than what you're hoping to sell the card at. And that actually, you want to make that look like it's legitimate people listing up.
You want to have enough of the card to fill a couple of pages on the transfer market, list them all, or list the majority at quite a high price, and a handful a bit lower, but still well above the normal market price. And hopefully you just get lazy people who want to pick up the card. And as all of your cards are coming to expire, so they're basically the first versions of that card that people see on the transfer market, someone will just scan through the first page, see, oh, most of these are going at 4.5k by now, but here's one at 2.8 or 3 or whatever, just a bit below, and they'll just pick it up without thinking, even though if they did a search with a buy now filter, they might be able to pick one up at 2.5 or something.
Yeah, and actually, even towards the end, that wasn't even necessarily necessary to sell them, because the prices had risen fairly significantly because of the fact he was out of packs. So I think by the end we were selling them quite easily for sort of 2.6.
Yeah.
Whereas with that method of listing, I mean, I had some sell for like 3.5 to 4k.
Yeah, people are very illogical with that. You could have, within seconds of each other, you'd have versions of the card going for kind of 3k and 3.5k and 4k, and the 3.5k one would sell and the 3k by now wouldn't. I mean, you get the sense that sometimes people just want to pick up the card. They don't really care if they lose 500 coins or 1,000 coins on it.
Yeah.
So you can definitely exploit that.
I mean, this method worked fantastically well in FIFA 15 because there were so many coins splashing about with coin selling. It was really easy to pick up just like little, you know, 1 or 2k or maybe more here and there, because people were just splurging this huge amount of coinage that they'd bought. So it's not quite as easy as it was now, I think, but it's still quite an effective method because there's still people still have plenty of coins, and on those slightly lower rated players who they're just trying to finish the squad with, often people will just search through concept squads, try and pick up a player as quickly as possible, and that means they'll end up paying a premium and they don't really care. So that's where you make your money, basically.
Yeah, it's quite an effective method, really. And I mean, you've also picked up some inform cards, I think.
Yeah, I picked up 12 to 13 inform Yotters, funnily enough, at 12 to 13k, basically because he's quite a unique card. There aren't many competitors for his position in the Portuguese league and for Portugal. So I'm going to see how that goes. I'll fill you in once I know more about how well that's working.
Yeah,
but I'm looking to
sit on them,
yeah, and look to sell them on once his much less common, because he's been out of packs for a while, so that'll probably be like a week or two. But yeah, I'm looking to hopefully make about 10k inform, because I imagine it'll rise to around 20k. So that'd be quite nice. That'd be like, I think, 200k or something. Should be really good.
Solid profit if it works out.
Yeah, although not 200k profit. That's net.
Yeah, net income. Turnover. Okay. And that takes us on quite nicely to our informed impression of this week, which is on inform Jota. We both used him in a squad. I think we both had a false nine set up. How was he for you, Ben?
Yeah, he was really good. I used him as the centre forward in the false nine formation, had Carrillo on the right with Andre, providing the perfect link to Jota. And then on the left, I had Felipe Anderson. Probably would have gone with El Shaarawy, but he was in another team. And then centre mid, I had Fernandez, and then CDM, I had Medel. So, I mean, yeah, don't need to worry about the back four, really. Although I will give a shout-out to Schlotto, the Italian right-back, plays for Sporting, who is really good. So don't hesitate to use him if you would like to make an interesting hybrid. But yeah, back to the main man, inform Jota, was really, really good. Basically, just has a really nice feel to him. Like, the way he controls the ball, dribbles the ball, it all just feels very smooth. He takes these kind of really lovely like flick touches, which you can see actually on the video we posted earlier today. My goal, which was a sort of Bergkamp style flick and then smashing in the volley, which was really nice.
Yeah, that was a lovely goal. And yeah, I definitely agree. He feels really good on the ball. I think that's probably to do with his agility. He's got nearly 90 agility on card.
And he's not a small player.
And yeah, he's 5'10". So he, yeah, I had him quite a lot of the time receiving the ball with his back to goal rather than trying to play him through first time, because I've been playing with quite a short passing style this week. And in this team, that worked out really, really well. He doesn't have amazing strength on his card, but he felt, but I guess because of his agility, he was able to turn out of tackles very quickly and lay the ball off, keep the passing move moving.
Easy for you to
stumble over my words a bit. And yeah, I had him in quite a similar setup. I had Andre as well, but I was also using Quaresma on the right-hand side, but Conor Plianka and Raphael from the Bundesliga as my left wing and left centre mid, respectively, with Luis Gustavo in the holding role. And it worked really, really well. My little bonus shout out from the team would be Raphael. He starts off as a centre forward. I moved his guard back to a cam and then got him on enough chemistry with a strong link and a manager. But he's scored, I think, a goal in every other game from centre mid, which over 20 games is quite impressive, really.
Yeah, it's really good. And you've got some really nice goals with him as well. I think you showed me this lovely casual strike into the far side netting of the goal, which is really nice.
Yeah, from about 25 yards out. He's one for another time. Potentially, if he gets an inform, we'll have to check him out. But back to Jota, I also found his finishing on the whole was very strong. He kind of, on both feet, he was decent. He's got 4-star weak foot. He was one of those players where I didn't really worry that much about which foot I was using. I mean,
yeah,
I found players
where
they can have 4-star weak foot, but it just really doesn't feel like it. And I guess for the most part, it's just whether you get a bit lucky with them the first few times you shoot on their weak foot. But he just felt very, like a very consistent finisher for me.
Yeah, in fact, I think the goal that I scored was on his left.
Yeah,
in the video.
Smashing it across the keeper on that hand side. But no, he's one who he really worked out. Balotelli last week, bit of a mixed bag. My opinion of him has actually decreased, having used him more in this past week. But Jota,
the opposite really for me. I think the more I've used him, the more I've got used to him, and the more
I felt more comfortable with him. And his link-up play has been brilliant, and his dribbling feels really good. Four-star skills come off nicely with him.
Definitely wait to buy him so you can buy him off me for 20k.
yeah, don't buy now while he's still only 15 odd.
Yeah.
Just let it rise, sit on it, and he'll feel more valuable.
But yeah, he is a very good player. And I think the only thing to add would be that if you're making a team which fits him in, you probably won't have many other options.
And I suppose the only other thing to keep an eye on is if he's going to get any more informs, because
Fucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
But he will look even better with
him. It would be a really, really good card. As long as it stays as a striker, because obviously his base card is a left winger.
Because he looks quite really average as a winger. Even with those stats, I don't think you'd really suit it that well.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a left forward.
Not really quick enough.
Yeah. He's got like decent pace, and he can definitely burn past defenders, but especially because he's dribbling so good. But actually, it's the combination of his like strength there, plus the acceleration and sprint speed.
I suppose we probably should have tried him out not as a false nine centre forward. I
mean, you've got a team I'm going to make in a 4-3-2-1.
Yeah.
Which has Jota between Nani and Quaresma, which I really look forward to trying out.
Portuguese trio.
Get them skills in. But yeah, should be good. And I'll maybe talk about that next week, actually.
For sure. So that was an inform from last week. Let's talk about this week's ones. Who stands out for you from that team of the week?
Well, I mean, there's just one player that stands out there. I mean, striker Ronaldo looks absolutely deadly. And I mean, he's just such a good player, and having him in the central position, I mean, on FIFA is just so much more effective than out wide.
Because you had him as a striker card. You had one of the striker cards a couple of years back, didn't you?
Yeah, I had the record breaker Ronaldo that year that there were so many coins playing around, as I was saying earlier. I had him between Quaresma and Neymar. Team of the season Neymar as well, and the footies Quaresma, so it's pretty deadly attacking three. But yeah, he was the star of the show, and I imagine it will be no different this year.
Yeah, no, that card, you can't really look past that card. But there are some decent other players out there. I mean, that Lewandowski is always a really strong card, and a 91 rated striker with well over 80 pace, nearly 90 shooting. He looks really solid. Mandzukic, I quite like playing with the target man, that 88 physical, quite attractive. player that I'd be quite interested to pick up is maybe that Arnautovic. It's frustrating that he always gets left mid cards. It's so rare he gets a striker one. But I used his regular card in one of my first teams this year as a left forward in a 4-3-2-1. And he felt really good, like a kind of budget Ibra, because he's got that really high agility for someone of his size, or relatively high agility for someone of his size. Feels strong on the ball, and he can finish. He's got good shot power. He's a really, really solid card.
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with, I don't know, 88 odd strength, high 80s dribbling. It's really, really good. It's just such a shame. I guess you can play him at left forward.
I mean, it works having him as a left forward. It was a bit of a funky team. I had Arnautovic, Boney, and Mbolo as my front three in a 4-3-2-1. I just wanted to try out having three really big, hustly guys up top. And I had mixed results. I had some games where I just beasted people's defences, but a lot of the time you didn't quite have the guile up top to unpick a well-organised defence. I wouldn't recommend going all out on the strong forwards necessarily, but Arnautovic was definitely the best of those three. So this in form looks really, really nice to me.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be ridiculously expensive because of his kind of strange positioning and lack of pace, but he is a Barclays Premier League in form, so he's always going to be that much more expensive. But one of my personal picks this week has got to be Mo Salah. I mean, he's a player that we both used classic Serie A starter player. And he looks really strong. I mean, he's got crazy agility, dribbling, and acceleration. And then I was playing around and had put Sniper on him. He gets 96 finishing, 94 acceleration, 93 sprint speed, 94 agility, 96 balance, 95 ball control, and 99 dribbling. I mean,
yeah, you can't and 95 really ask. Positioning. Yeah. That's an outrageous looking card with that chem style on him.
Yeah, he looks really good. And he's one of those players that just is always good because he's got those attributes that make him a quality card in FIFA. But I think he looks really good. I don't know what kind of price we're looking at for him, actually. He's obviously not BPL, but he's still a popular, pacey player in a position which there aren't too many options. You've got Cuadrado, but...
Yeah, no, the Calcio A or Serie A this year is a bit lacking in wide players on both sides, really. I mean, you've got Elshar on the left and Cuadrado on the right if you're looking for skills. But beyond that, Keita and Felipe Anderson on the left.
Yeah, and you've got like Salah on the right.
Mertens, I suppose.
But none of them are, I mean, they're all quite good players, but certainly
no
on the
really,
right.
No really elite players there.
So we'll have to see what that card's like. I don't know whether it'll work. I'll end up picking him up because he might be a little overpriced.
Yeah, it'll depend on his price, to be honest. He has always been a very strong card in FIFA, though. So I think he's one to watch, but not in that way. But yeah, looking at other players in the team of the week, it's a bit uninspiring, really.
Yeah, I've not been so impressed. I think maybe it's because we're quite keen on at least having 4-star skills on most players. So players like Valencia, who look like absolute tanks, but at right mid, just not really that exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the not especially insightful, but very true comment that he'd be an excellent right mid in a 3-5-2. I mean, with those stats, it's so well-rounded. But he's got 1-star weak foot and 3-star skills. I just don't know if I could just feel really limited, I think, using him. Particularly if your opponent knew you can only use his right foot. You just send him inside every time and you have to pass backwards pretty much.
And I think that's one of the reasons why in real life he plays right back for Manchester United. But the other thing is that it's crazy because he used to have 4-star skills, 4-star weak foot, I think.
Yeah,
not so long ago,
until I checked his card, I think last year, I, in my head, was pretty sure he had strong weak foot and skill move stats.
But I suppose in real life he does struggle on his left, so.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got then a trio of 3-star skill strikers, in Immobile, Gamero, and Benteke. Benteke looks good. He'll be expensive, I'm sure. As a very strong, actually, looking PL striker. And when I've come up against his non-inform so far this year, he's been very strong. Actually, he scored some nasty goals against me. Gamero, maybe less so. To be honest, he's got excellent shooting stats, good passing, so he might make quite a nice false nine. But again, the lack of 4-star skills kind of limits his usefulness to me.
And my proper hipster pick for this week, and actually maybe a bit of a chem style pick, because with glove he'd be quite effective. He's actually South African, plays for Kaizer Chiefs. It's Kune, and he's one of the only real reason why he looks a solid keeper. He looks okay. He's not the tallest, though. He's only 5'11", which is a bit short. He's got 5-star weak foot, though. And he's got, like, on his standard card, 75 long passing, which I don't know whether people have looked into goalkeeper stats. You're probably not as sad as me, but very few goalkeepers have anywhere near that.
Yeah,
I think the next highest is, like, 50 or something.
It's something like that. He's got the highest long passing on any goalkeeper in the game, and the next is Neuer, who's a little way behind him. So, yeah, it's maybe Pep should have looked to pick him up if he wanted a keeper that could play with his feet.
Yeah.
But his inform, actually, it looks decent, doesn't it? It's almost 80 all round. It's only his handling of his major stats that's below 80, and he's got 92 kicking. So, I mean, kicking is a pretty underlooked stat on goalkeepers on the whole. But
yeah.
I found using the flat goalkeeper kicks out to a winger can really set off breakaway attacks quite effectively this year.
And I mean, let's be honest, nobody's actually going to use him, but it's quite a fun little card to have.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played against a Kaizer Chiefs player even, let alone a team in their ultimate team.
I don't think I've played many South African players at all.
I think I came up against an informed Pienaar a couple of years ago.
I can believe that.
That's about it, though. Yeah, so that's about it for the team of the week, really. Not an especially interesting one, beyond Ronaldo, of course.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's that time again, our final feature. Dynamite discards.
Yeah, I've really been looking forward to this one because he's a man I wanted to bring up last week, but I went for Zarate instead. But I'm going to go with Matias Fernandez. He's Chilean. He plays for
AC Milan.
AC Milan, yeah. Interesting links. You can link him with Medel, Yang, two players I've got him linked to currently. There are other options, but actually his links aren't the best, which is one of the problems with fitting into a team. But as a player, he is just outstanding. Like, he's got 5-star skills, which you probably know, 4-star weak foot. He's got really, really good long shots and free kicks, which is really nice, especially from a cam. He's probably not the kind of player you'd play in false nine because he's not, like, got the pace or strength. But in terms of actual kind of attacking midfield play, he has everything you'd want.
Mm. And, I mean, his card stats aren't crazy brilliant. But I used him as well in just a basic Serie A team very early on this year, and he, on your recommendation, and he really sorted me out. His 5-star skills come off really nicely. His shooting from distance is great. Scored a couple of free kicks with him. He's a really neat little cam for no coins. And if you like skilling, a very good option down the central line.
And a bit of a weird one, but if you like free kicks, I think he's quite good because not only can he take them well, but he seems to draw them. He's got like that ability to sort of beat a player and make people annoyed in the centre of the park. And I found I got quite a few free kicks when I was playing with him.
Nice. Well, my pick is another midfielder, more of a box-to-box player, and he's someone I was using in my false nine team just behind Jota. It's Andre from Porto. Bit like Mr. JJ Okocha. He's so good. They named him twice. He really has impressed me. I looked at his cards. He's basically got mid to high 70s across the board, and it really shows in game. He just gets up and down. He's scored a lot of goals for me, and he's assisted quite a few. He's got a really wide variety of finishes because he's basically got sort of mid 70s for all his shooting stats. So he's scored a couple from distance and a couple of just nice little ones slip past the keeper. And he's also got 86 penalties, which again I found a bit like with finishing, you really notice when a player has higher penalties stats this year because they're much less likely to sky it horribly or just trickle it towards the keeper.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stress enough, he's a really, really strong player. I mean, again, I had him in the same position in the false nine, and he just gets up and down. He will score really quite good goals. He's got great shooting stats, 75 on the card, which is high for a midfielder. And in a game I played earlier, actually, I think it was yesterday, he scored 3. So, I mean, just that kind of
hat trick with a central midfielder.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And it always pops up. And I don't think people expect you to sort of bang one in with him. That's the other thing.
Yeah. And I mean, he's not the biggest physical presence. He's 5'8". He's quite short. And he's not got great strength at all. But he feels good on the ball. His tackling works well. He's got very high interceptions. And I think I did notice that quite a lot, actually. He cut out passes. And again, if you're looking to play a short passing game, he's got excellent short passing stats. On his card, it's only 77 passing, but that's brought down by very low crossing and free kick stat. The rest of his passing stats are much more solid.
And he's got that lovely triple 75 finishing shot power and long shots.
Yeah, exactly.
Which actually feels way better than that in game.
Yeah. So he's if you're looking for
cheap and reliable coins.
Well, I guess you could call him a cheap and reliable box-to-box midfielder. But seriously, he is really good.
And what do you think about chemistry styles for Andre?
I think I've just had him on basic, actually.
Yeah, because I was going to say same, yeah.
As a sort of box-to-box player, it gives him a little bit of a pace boost, nudges his shooting, kind of his relevant shooting stats, over 80 for the most part. His passing suddenly turns into 83 vision, 88 short passing, 83 long passing, which is awesome. Takes his dribbling stats close to 85, and his defending stats, he gets 80 standing tackle. So I would be a bit of an advocate for just leaving him on basic. What about you?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I've gone for the same for him, actually. And I should just mention, actually, with Fernandez, I've gone for Maestro, which is just, I think, a bit of a no-brainer for attacking midfielders, especially as Fernandez, particularly, I mean, he's not the quickest, but he's quick enough, and his strength isn't really going to benefit from a boost, so works really nicely. And he's got really, really really good long shots with Maestro. I think it's mid-80s, actually.
In fact, it's even better. It's 88 long shots and 90 shot power. That is pretty awesome, really.
Yeah, I've scored a few really nice long shots with him, actually. And he's got just all-round really good stats once you put Maestro on him. 90 short passing, 92 free kick. Really, really good player.
Yeah. So that was André and Matias Fernandez, our Dynamite discards for this week. They can both be picked up easily for less than a K. So if you get the chance to fit them into a team, have a go. Thanks for listening. This has been week 4 of Foot Weekly. Hope you have a good time in Foot Champions this weekend. Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
See you next week.
See you then.